Every true football fan knows that the NFL season truly begins after the Super Bowl champion has been crowned, and the Ringer NFL feed will keep you on top of all the news still happening around the league and heading into the 2024-25 season. I'm Sheil Kapadia, and every Monday and Friday, Ben Solak and I deliver sharp takes and debates on the draft, free agency, training camp, and beyond on Extra Point Taker.
And every Wednesday, we'll have Dual Threat, where Stephen Ruiz and yours truly, Nora Princiati, dive deep into all of the big offseason developments, with Ringer favorites Austin Gale and Lindsey Jones stopping by occasionally to share their expert football analysis.
Subscribe to the Ringer NFL Show on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
And don't forget to follow the Ringer NFL on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and X at Ringer NFL.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Chicago everywhere, check it.
Not enough Chicago. We just don't have enough Chicago people. Jason Goff is here.
Well, I'm at Full Go.
The Full Go podcast.
The Full Go.
Bears, Bulls, White Sox, Cubs, and Blackhawks.
Our man, Jason Goff.
3 times a week with Jason Goff.
His mood is elevated. He is feeling good.
Jason, I'm loving the Full Go.
Love the Full Go.
The Full Go.
The Full Go.
Welcome to Full Go with Jason Goff.
That is what I'm talking about. Talking about.
What up, world? You're listening to The Full Go with Jason Goff, presented by The Ringer, a Spotify original.
Yeah. Welcome on in to an emergency episode, episode 366 of The Full Go podcast. And it's not just an emergency, it's a State of the Union address, seemingly, that is needed in Chicago, because I haven't seen this kind of fallout nor reaction to a player who has had this short of a time and short of a stay in our city, I think, in all of my life. And of course, the Bears quarterback is very, very important. And if you haven't heard, you've been under a rock, you've been locked up, or you're one of these drunkards that was stumbling around all weekend long here in the city of Chicago, especially downtown. Boy, it is amazing to see how, you know, flash mobs can be disassembled any weekend here in the city of Chicago. But boy, when y'all put on a little green and start to bopsy twin y'all ass around and throw up all over Michigan Avenue and State Street and Wabat, it was a mess downtown. An absolute mess. But we will get into the St. Patrick's Day affairs some other time. What we're here for now is to talk about Justin Fields. He is no longer a Chicago Bear. He is now a Pittsburgh Steeler. He was traded by the Bears on Saturday as we are sitting here taping after the Bulls-Wizards. You know, it's just absolute barn burner of a game. I am Jason Goff. I'm joined by the exceptional one, Kyle Williams. Of course, the shadowy figure that is Steve Cerruti, and the dad, the myth, the legend, Tony Gill, the chief vibes officer, Chris Sutton. Those fellas are here with us in spirit. I am here to talk to Lawrence Holmes about what occurred today. Lawrence, always good to talk to you. Always good to see you, my man. You can check Lawrence out from 10 to 2 right here in the city of Chicago on 670 The Score. You can check out the House of L network of pods, which is booming at all times. Business is booming with those fellas and ladies over there in that network. And Lawrence has done a great job of curating talent. And he jumps in there and throws out an emergency pod or two. He threw out an emergency pod that you must go listen to before or after this one. All right. If you want to pause me and go listen to Lawrence and probably hear more clear, salient, cogent thoughts, more mannerly and measured thoughts than I'm about to give you, then go right ahead. I ain't mad at you, because when he eats, we all eat. That's the fam. Lawrence, good to talk to you. Good to see you. I have to say this before we get into the conversation. The reasons why I had an affinity for this experience, not just the dude in Justin Fields, but this experience, were, you know, at least three or fourfold. This pod started when Justin Fields' career started as a Bear. Bill Simmons came to me and said, "Hey, man, let's do this thing." And I was like, "Yeah, let's do it. Let's start it during the football season." And it was the first year that we had met Justin Fields. That St. Louis Sunday night game, and I was all amped up, ready to see what Justin Fields had to offer. He had a little special package of plays in there. Matt Nagy did the whole Andy Dalton thing. And we'll get into the specifics in a more detailed manner here. But for me, and for what Justin Fields represents for me, because there's a lot of people saying a lot of things, a lot of generalizations, and a lot of straw men being built about what actually happened as opposed to what the feeling was and has been for this dude, and why certain people feel the way about this situation. Not just the kid, not just the man, not just the player, but the situation. For me, it was a chance not only to see something I hadn't seen in my entire Bears fandom, which is the nurturing and drafting of a black quarterback in this city. I was really looking forward to how the city was going to adjust to it. The fact that he was a talented player. The fact that I thought he was right there with Trevor Lawrence coming out of college. And I could be wrong and, you know, probably will be proven wrong. Maybe not. Maybe not. But, you know, a lot of people had Trevor Lawrence as touchdown Jesus, and rightfully so. Out of coming out of Clemson, he was outstanding. But I was sitting there looking at the Ohio State quarterback being the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year and what he had done in big-time games against Clemson, against Alabama. Like, he'd gone up against some real teams in real situations and real circumstances, not just Big Ten football, but outside of the Big Ten. I was looking forward to that toughness. I thought he was going to be a Steve McNair type of player where, you know, can move around a little bit, but also be tough enough to deliver the ball and take one shot to the mouth in a clutch situation to win you a game, because we saw that on the collegiate level. I was also looking forward to it because of where I am at in my fatherhood, right? My son is trying to work his way into sports, right? And at this time, he was 4 years old. So what better time to latch on to something than to have a new quarterback, a young guy that your kid can grow with, and hopefully his Bears fandom or his Bears lot in life will be a lot more beneficial than mine has been in terms of wins and sustained success. 3 years later, That didn't happen. It's not going to happen. He is now a Pittsburgh Steeler for a 6th-round pick. You know, the compensation can be increased up to a 4th-round pick with all the playing time situations that, you know, and snaps that I'm sure are detailed in the deal for the Steelers. Lawrence, for you, the compensation, the timing, the way this thing has been handled by our local media on both sides, on the Caleb Williams, you know, pro side, and on the Justin Fields pro side, what stands out to you? Because there's so many issues that I have with this and the way that we consumed it. It's hard, I guess, for anybody out there who just looks at monetarily, like, you can't feel bad for a guy who made $14, $15 million. And all I'm saying is, hey man, when you get handed that situation at the beginning of your career, which is, you know, the infancy stage, like, we've seen quarterbacks get drafted and then 3 years later not be in the league anymore. Hell, Zach Wilson might be one of those guys coming up here very soon. All right. This is the guy who got drafted, what, 2nd in that draft, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, we've seen it happen and are currently seeing it happen in the NFL. You get a shot, and if that shot doesn't provide the results or, you know, the productivity that, you know, not only teams that drafted you but also teams around the league think are sustainable, your ass is going to be out the league. There was enough here with Matt Nagy, the Andy Dalton part of this, the tearing down of the team and not being Ryan Poles' guy. And now we get this Caleb Williams part over this last year or so that's entered into the chat. I find it very interesting that the dynamic that we're seeing, Lawrence, and I gotta be honest with you, we're almost seeing this from a stance of, like, if Caleb Williams was a white quarterback and Justin Fields is Justin Fields, he'd be like, oh, y'all can't do this to the brother. We're getting the y'all can't do this to the brother, and another brother is getting ready to be the Bears quarterback. Like, this shit is mind-boggling to me. So what say you? I haven't got a chance to tap into your pod. I'm going to do that as soon as we're done recording this thing. So I didn't want to poach any of your thoughts. I didn't want to have your thoughts affect mine. But what do you make of this entire thing, Doc?
Well, it's funny because when you were starting off and you were talking about, like, the way that people are seeing Justin off, I wrote down a name because I do think that there's one comp that we can add to this discussion. This is like when Thomas Jones left.
Yeah.
Now, Thomas Jones, clearly like a more accomplished pro at the time of him leaving the Bears than what Justin Fields was. But it's the same type of thing where people knew that Cedric Benson had the potential to be a great running back, but they preferred Thomas Jones. And it's funny, like other than this podcast where, you know, you are dealing with AB every week, every ex athlete, every ex NFL person that I talked to other than AB was like, yeah, you should probably just stick with Justin and build around him. And I'm talking about Cam Newton, Brandon Marshall. Like, there was a whole litany of people that I talked to, and I'm sitting there going, what is it that other people don't get? You know, like, I've been firmly in the camp of Team Justin. And I'm like, why am I on the island with the ex-players, and what am I not seeing? And so that was really strange to me that there were so many people, and granted, people who were literally and figuratively closer to this team than I was. A lot of them were like, well, this has run its course, and it's time for them to move on. What I didn't like about the conversations is I felt like some of the arguments fell flat. If your idea is you just prefer the upside of Caleb Williams, that's cool. I'm okay with that. Or if you think, well, Justin doesn't have it, I disagree with you, but I'm okay with that too. What I hated was, well, you have to restart the quarterback clock. Like, that to me is such a lame-o argument when we start talking about the average cost of Justin Fields over the next 2 years. We're talking about $30 million. So let's say that Justin Fields is a bottom third quarterback. If you're getting him at an average of $15 million a year, that's still a bargain considering how much quarterbacks cost. I think that you touched on a point that's significant to me. I don't know how significant it is to other people, but when you're talking about your son and his relationship with Justin Fields, I saw it a lot. Like when I would go out and do appearances for Remy Martin, we were hood adjacent.
Yes, sir.
You know, we were out Lansing.
Yeah.
And some of the peoples came over, whether they were coming from Lansing or South Holland or Dalton.
Shout out to Harvey.
Shout out to Harvey. Be careful out there.
Please do. Please do.
They got some stuff going on.
Please do. Remember to vote.
Remember to vote. Very important. But I would hear from these dads. And they would say, man, I really want the Bears to keep Justin. And I went to Justin's camp, or, you know, my son looks like Justin. So I do think that there was a kinship that was built between Justin and the fans. And the way I kind of put it on the pod today is that I actually think that there are different pockets of Justin supporters. Mm-hmm. I think it's that group of people for sure. I also think the people that don't necessarily, it doesn't reach them the same way that it might reach you and I, the place where our concentric circles will hook up is them being like, he was dealt a really bad hand. Like all the people that go, I think there were a lot of Bears fans that could see exactly what happened to Fields and go, that's messed up.
Right.
That's not fair. They saw that Nagy was doing weird stuff at the beginning of this. And my contention is that first year, Justin either needed to be the clear starter or the number three. The number two role with the package of plays seemed silly. And it also seemed like it put him in a position where it was going to be difficult for him to learn how to read NFL offenses, because he was focused on, well, I've got these five plays that I've got to run, and that's all I need to worry about. And then you have a season where you're literally trying to lose games. And people don't think that that stuff matters. People can flatly say, well, you know, you don't learn how to win, like all this stuff. And I'm
nonsense.
Like, do you know what losing does to people? Like, it is damaging, and it's very damaging to quarterbacks. So there's a lot that goes into this. I do agree with the critics that are saying, hey, it's not happening. It's not happening consistently enough. Fast mm-hmm. enough is probably not the right adjective, but consistently enough is when it came to Fields in the pocket. But then you have the mitigation of, well, did he have a great offensive line? Did he have weapons until year three? And I would argue that it wasn't until halfway through year three that we really could judge him as a quarterback, because of one, dealing with the injury, coming back, some of the injuries that they had on the offensive line, the fact that they had so many problems at center last season, where there were, how many snaps did Justin's incredible athleticism save them from turnovers? Mm-hmm. Like it happened quite a bit, and that stuff throws off the timing of plays. But it's a fascinating case study, because similar to Thomas Jones, I feel like there are so many people that the Steelers are now their second favorite team. Like, they're going to be watching the Bears, and everyone will hope that Caleb Williams does great. But their second favorite, like, there's going to be people who be like, yeah, I got this Justin Fields Steelers jersey. Yeah. Like, just it's in the closet just in case I need it, and I'm going to put it on. So it's going to be hilarious to see kind of where this all goes, even with the stuff in Pittsburgh, because – I know what they've said about Russ, and I know that Russ is going to take this seriously, which I think is good for both Russ and for Justin. Mm-hmm. Like, you want this job? Because Tomlin's going to give you a chance to win it. He's going to, with everything that you do at the facility, everything you do in practice, he's going to give you a chance to win that job. It's up to you to be as good of a student, to be as diligent, to have all of those leadership qualities that Russell Wilson had in certain situations and maybe didn't have in other situations. It's up to Justin to now match that energy.
I'm interested in the timing of this. And like you mentioned, there's going to be a lot of, you know, Chicago Steelers fans out here. And I can't wait to a few of y'all fools show up to Soldier Field with Justin Fields jerseys on and looking at people trying to fight. You know it's going to happen the first 4 or 5 weeks
for
of
sure.
the season, no matter what Caleb Williams does. And I can't wait to talk about that part of the equation as well. But for Justin, and like you just said, I'm rooting for him. Because in my interactions with him over these last few years, it's only been a handful of them, but he carried himself like a professional quarterback from day one. Like, and I'm talking about outside, and you know, the stuff that we saw at Hallis Hall, and you know, the infamous walk back out and address the media situation, which was embarrassing for everyone involved. And I think just a little telling of what exactly, not only the culture, but you know, the blame game and the lack of accountability that was going on that offensive staff. And then we see all of them get fired, and all of a sudden it's like, well, it's all on Justin. Well, no, the Bears kind of admitted that some of this shit was rotten. Some of it was rotten. And also some guys probably shouldn't have had the responsibilities that they had. But the timing of this.
Yeah, there's some really interesting stories about, you know, the things that Luke Getsy had to say went down in Indianapolis. There's some really, you know, that. Just okay. Yeah. All right, fam. Yeah. All right. Whatever you say.
He's got he's got like that junior Matt Nagy feel to him, where it's like, hey man, you know, you all right, but you didn't do as much as you thought you did.
I, I would say it's way like his resume is not even close.
100%.
To Matt Nagy. 100%. And you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like it's not even close.
Pump your brakes,
and you out here acting like you are that guy. And that we'll see. It'll all wash out for sure. I mean to cut
no,
you
no,
off.
No, just, no. There ain't no cutting off. Yeah, we're talking. You know,
just hearing some of the stuff, I was like, oh, really? Like, that's the story he's trying to sell? Oh, that's amazing. Well,
you can tell when guys are bullshitting. You can tell when guys are covering up for their inadequacies. And I thought much of the second half of last season, every time Luke Getsy had something to say and he didn't point the thumb and he pointed it at pretty much the personnel or pointed it at the quarterback position, I was like, all right, I know what you made of. I can kind of sense where this is going. You know, it's you're sacrificing this young man because you know that another job might be waiting for you because of what the NFL brotherhood actually is.
And I think that that's part of it, mm-hmm. too, Jay. I think that people, like, it's funny to me, like, even people that might not necessarily, like, if they hear us talking about some of this stuff that we see that maybe other people don't see because they're not as attuned or sensitive to it, they might initially be like, oh, there go Holmes and Goff again, you know. There they go. I had some of those people after the Sunday night game being like, y'all might be on to something here because that Chris Collinsworth shit was out of pocket.
Egregious.
The Tyson, and then people were like, wait a minute. Like, even like the hardcore critics of Justin Fields were like, no. Yeah. No,
I can't do that.
That's not it. I don't feel comfortable walking out onto that ledge, Chris.
You can learn.
You think you did a tad too far.
You learned a couple things from Tyson Bajan. No, you can't. And
No, you can't.
No, the top, what, the 11th pick in the draft or whatever he was, not going to learn anything from Division II quarterback coming out of Shepherd University, who the moment it wasn't a scramble drill and you had a little tape on him, it was time to give up the dinner and a movie at every other possession. Like,
yes.
Man, what, had 5-6 interceptions in 3 games? Like,
it wasn't good.
But the timing of this thing, I'm scratching my head because I'm trying to figure out the crossroads of Ryan Poles doing what's best maybe for Justin as opposed to doing what's best for the team. Because to me, if you've waited this long, the draft period is coming up. You've got, we're in the draft period. The actual draft is coming up, and guys get hurt. Guys get hurt in training camps all the time. Guys get hurt in mini camps. You know, things don't pan out. You know, you look around, you done spent all your money. You haven't gone out and got yourself a backup quarterback or one of those prospects. You know, there's still those teams that feel like they need to add a new quarterback every single year out there. So what do you think of the timing of this deal? And do you think that there was a way maybe that he could have gotten more? Because this also pains me with this thought of, well, this is what the NFL was just telling you he was worth. And I'm just saying to myself, this is the same fucking NFL where a whole bunch of quarterback vacancies were out there last year, and Lamar Jackson was on the open market, and the Atlanta Falcons, who went out and gave Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed, looked that man in the face and said it at a presser that, we ain't looking into that. So help me here with the timing. Help me understand how, or maybe, and maybe it'll come out, you know, down the road, but do you think the Bears could have gotten more if the timing was a little bit different? Or is this just what it is?
The Full Goal with Jason Goff.
It feels like they could have gotten more. And I mean, if you look at some of the people that we trust, like, you know, good people, like Brad Spielberger, for example, he thought a second and a fourth made sense. I never thought that one was going to happen, but I was like, you know what? A second and a conditional, a second and a fourth, a second and a fifth, that made sense to me. I would love to know the truth behind what Ryan Poles told Justin Fields and what those conversations were like. Here's why. I never said this on my pod, but I'll say it here. I got a bunch of text messages from folks during the combine that said something will happen with Justin before the combine is over. Okay. Now, it happened a week later, but most people thought that they would trade Justin before. And then you had kind of the weirdness with Caleb, not that he wasn't going to do the medicals, but the fact that they were supposed to meet with him at House Hall right after the combine, and then that got moved back to next week. And so I do wonder if there was a let's make sure that the quarterback we want to draft is not broken. Let's make sure of that first before we trade the quarterback that we genuinely like, but we don't necessarily see a future with. It does seem like you traded for pennies on the dollar for a guy that has some talent and some ability. And I wonder about the choices too. Like, Atlanta seemed to be where everyone thought Fields was going, but I also have to allow for perhaps people got reports on Kirk Cousins that were more favorable than what you were thinking. That a guy coming off an injury like his would be ready for the next season. And then once they were like, okay, that's the guy that we want, so now we can go get him, and it's only going to cost us money. It's not going to cost us draft capital. I think it's an interesting strategy. We'll see if it works out for Atlanta. But it does seem like with this trade that you have a talented young player that's still got potential. And it feels like you were begging for someone to take him instead of someone coming to you and saying, hey, we'd really like to give this young man a chance if you guys are decided in what your future is going to be. And that's why it feels a little weird.
And speaking of futures, I want to play this for you, and I know you've probably heard it, but for the people who haven't heard it, this is Justin Fields' now head coach, Mike Tomlin, on the pivot. And this is what he had to say. And this dropped a few days ago. This cut was just circulating a few days ago about coaching. And I'm so happy that somebody in the NFL ranks said this, because if somebody outside or one of the observers or people who cover it said this about coaches, then it's easily shot down and dismissed. But a dude who has been as tenured as successful as Mike Tomlin has been with a charter franchise, like one of the founding franchises in the Pittsburgh Steelers, this is what he had to say to Ryan Clark and Channing Crowder about coaching in their league.
I love to hear coaches resist the responsibility of coaching.
What'd you just say, coach?
I love coaches that resist the responsibility of coaches, that talk negatively about a dude that can't learn and blah, blah. Man, if everybody could learn, we need less coaches.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? If the group didn't need management, then we wouldn't make as much. Yep. I love reading draft evals and somebody's talking about anything other than pedigree, talking about how poor somebody's hand usage is. Well, that's coaching. Right. Mm. I don't run away from coaching. I run to coaching.
Love it.
It all is in line with that not seeking comfort, because when you're a coach that's talking about somebody can't learn, you're seeking comfort. Because your teaching is struggling.
Let me tell you something. I've heard a lot of coaches say a lot of things. But for someone to call out people in the profession and, you know, do it generally, but, you know, hey, hit dogs holler. And I'm sure when that thing dropped and coaches around the league probably heard this, or assistant coaches or scouts or whatever, immediately their ears and eyes probably turned to the person that they think this of. And I got to be honest with you. It seems as if the Chicago Bears have been hiring that coach that Mike Tomlin has been talking about, either to be the head coach or the offensive coordinator of this team, for years and years and years and years. And I've been saying it since I could get in front of a mic, because I've always thought, man, what happens to NFL quarterbacks? What happens to quarterbacks who are at the top of their game in high school, in Pop Warner, in college, and then all of a sudden they get to the next level and they look like shit? And more quarterbacks are ruined than developed. And I think this Justin Fields, and mind you, this isn't, you know, all the onus isn't being taken off of Justin Fields here. If he would have performed at a higher level with all the things that were happening around him, right? At some point, you got to play above it, and he wasn't able to play above it, like you mentioned, consistently enough. And it would have been a superhuman feat if he did, because we'd be talking about Marvin Harrison Jr. being a Chicago Bear instead of Caleb Williams, right? We'd be talking about the Bears once again trading out of the number one pick down to two or three, whatever the case may be, so they can go ahead and get Marvin Harrison Jr., but he didn't. So there's obviously issues that Justin Fields has to embrace and take accountability for. But when I heard that, man, I was happy to know that I'm not fucking crazy when it comes to quarterbacks in this league, and especially this situation in this city. Because when you hand that guy to Matt Nagy, who is on the way out and is trying to just win games, and then when that is over, says, here, hand him over to the Lions. Hand him over to Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney and give up 9 sacks with no max protection the entire game in his first start as an NFL player. You know, then the second year, like you mentioned, by the way, we're trying to lose games. I don't know how you eke 3 of them out while you're getting hurt. While the Atlanta game was egregious. When you're running him when he's obviously hurt at the end of the game, and you're calling quarterback run plays in Atlanta on the road. And then last year, you give him somebody in DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, you know, comes of age. Donnell Wright is a damn good pick. If I'm Justin, by the way, I'm sitting there looking at this offseason like, hey, man, fuck y'all. Like this is how y'all want to play this thing. I know it's a business, but all of a sudden, Keenan Allen showing up, you know, DeAndre, you ain't had a breaker in the backfield since I have been here. Yeah, somebody who I could just swing that thing on out to. Them stats look a lot different if when David Montgomery and Roschon Johnson is catching the football and Deontay Foreman is catching the football and getting 5 yards as opposed to Jalen Hurts swinging it out to DeAndre Swift and him getting 45 or 50 yards out of the backfield, yep. Right? So when you hear Mike Tomlin, his now coach, say those things, it just – I'm worried. Worried in a good way because – I'm trying to steer clear of the Bears bearsing this thing, right? Like, it's too clean and too perfect for Caleb Williams to just drop in and be sent from heaven and all the smoke that's around his name right now and all the heat that's on him all of a sudden dissipates and we're talking about a perennial Pro Bowler. But when I hear the guy that's getting ready to get the guy that so many NFL players and NFL executives have talked glowingly about even through this tumultuous 3 years, I get a little worried. I get a little worried because that's a dude right there who doesn't lack accountability and who is a stand-up guy seemingly, and I think it's going to work out for Justin. But when you hear that, what are you hearing?
I tell you, I can't help but get back to golf.
We've been playing that cut on the show for a while. I saw it on Reels, and I was like, that's exactly – I've said it before, I'll say it again. There isn't another coach that if I were blessed with the talent to play, that I would want to play for more than Mike Tomlin. And it's because of that. It's an inherent understanding of the nature of people. And sometimes it's the inherent nature of people to not do their fucking jobs. And then try to put it off on someone else. It's amazing to me. I spend some time as a quasi academic, and I feel that in my heart, because you have to understand that every student is different. And sometimes your message is going to hit immediately, you know, and you'll have some of your star students, like they'll get it quick. And then sometimes you need different messaging to click the light on for a particular student. Then when they get it, they're fine and they can run with it. Not everyone who coaches is a great teacher, even though that's how they always try to sell themselves. is I want great teachers and teachers of, there's a lot of assumption that goes into it. I don't know how you could look at, and I don't mean to beat up on Luke Getsy, but he is worthy of being beat up. I don't know how you could look at Luke Getsy's career path and his resume and say, I have proof that he's a great teacher. He stood next to a guy that's probably the greatest regular season quarterback in the history of the league. And by the time Luke Getsy got to him, he was fully formed. Like this is not a guy that, right. He didn't need anyone's help. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I question some of the credentials of you hired him. And I think that you're right, Jay. And I think it's a part that a lot of people have glossed over. You can say they've clearly made changes in both directions. Mm-hmm. They've changed the quarterback and they changed the offensive coordinator. They changed the offensive coordinator quick. It was the first thing that they did after the season ended. And I truly believe that in his heart, if you gave Matt Eberflus truth serum, he will tell you that they failed Justin and he feels bad about it. And I think that was part of the, like, yeah, you know what? You know, the first thing I'm going to do after you tell me I still got this job,
I'm out of here.
He's getting up out of here. That guy's up out of here because he can't teach and he can't coach. Now that they don't have the time to or the capital to risk bringing Justin back. I get that. It's the smart career move by Ryan Poles for sure to go on. But I love hearing Tomlin talk this way about the responsibility of coaching. Sean King, the former quarterback, not Talcum X.
Oh, Jesus.
He said to us that he knew a lot of coaches, whether it was from college or the NFL, that if they were on the field, they were trying to get seen as a head coach. That they wanted to have this
the play card.
They wanted to have the play card up, you know, so that they looked like they were out here doing something.
Doing tricks with the whistle on the sideline, you know, walking around, tapping guys on the backside. Going to get a good one out of you tonight, huh? Yeah, yeah.
said he always knew to maybe not take some of those guys as seriously. And I started to think about it, and I was like, huh, that makes a lot of sense
right there.
But I think that both Russ and Justin will be better off by being coached by Mike Tomlin. And if you run from that, Kenny Pickett, that tells me more about you than it does about Tomlin.
Right. Well, Justin Fields is now a Pittsburgh Steeler. It was one of like the four or five destinations or landing spots that we've been talking about over the last, few weeks or so, right? We had Seattle in there. We had Atlanta. Definitely wasn't going to be Minnesota, although I would have loved to have seen that happen. You know, if you don't believe in them and you think, like, wouldn't it have been amazing if, like, Minnesota's like, hey, we'll give you a third. Just go ahead and give us. You don't fuck with him. Yeah, you don't think he's good.
He's not any good, right?
Give him a third. Have him and Justin Jefferson, playing for the next couple of years in your division. You know how bad he is. All you got to do, right, is
with a coach who I think actually is pretty good.
Yeah, I think so too.
When it comes to kind of getting offenses together, and there is no way that they should have been anywhere close to the playoffs last year, and they were so. Yeah, I think that's another one of those midnight conversations in Indianapolis next year, where we were close, we offered the Bears a fourth.
Right. It'll come out. Justin, yeah.
They said no, or because he's good. We don't want to give him to a division rival. Nah, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, he'll play above his talent level just because he's angry. We don't want to.
Yeah,
that's the other thing too. Like, the diabolical side of my mind. I was sitting here thinking, like, man, Ryan Poles out here. you know, acting like he can't get nothing but a third or fourth or fifth rounder, and come to find out the rest of the league kind of was sitting in the cut waiting, and also some leverage was lost, right? When you're going into this situation knowing that there's a prospect that people are fawning over. My guy Ben Solak said this is the same league that only wants to give up a sixth rounder for Justin Fields but wants to take Jaden Daniels number two overall. And I was like, there it is. Like, a guy gets 3 years of an NFL rinse, you know, apparently, and it's like, he's not the prospect that he was, or he must be broken. And I think it's just a bunch of guys running away from coaching. I wish the best for Justin Fields. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can become. And, you know, hey, man, storybook ending, you know, 3 years from now, Caleb Williams versus Justin Fields, Bears versus the Steelers in the Super Bowl. Like, if all things would work out in sports radio and podcast heaven, right, in terms of content, yeah, that's what it'll be. So I'm hoping the young man finds his way. I'm hoping he gets a chance to play some football. And Caleb, hey, a lot of pressure.
Yeah, you brought this up earlier, Jay, and it's worth revisiting. I talked a little bit about it on my podcast.
Bears Talk with Jason Goff on the 4-Goal.
And the kick is good for the win. Fade to black.
Brought to you by The Ringer, a Spotify original.
Look, now that this is over, and I'll use air quotes, it's over, there is a ton of pressure on Caleb Williams. And I hope that he is made of the stuff that he projects that he's made of. And because he comes across very confidently.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that, you know.
100%. You want your quarterback to be that kind of guy.
And I hope that it's not a front. I hope that you're that dude, Lupe.
That's the thing.
Yeah, you are what you say you are.
That's the thing.
Because he will already have a target because he's the number one pick. You add in, there will be an angry contingent of Justin fans that are like, our guy didn't have all of this. He somehow got 7 wins on a team that wasn't nothing.
And as unfairly as people think Justin Fields was treated, rightfully or wrongfully so, that unfair treatment is now going to be cast upon Caleb Williams. Like the referendums from throw to throw and quarter to quarter that we saw for the last 3 years on Justin Fields, that shit is going to be ratcheted up 10 notches because of who Caleb Williams is. So I agree with you there,
brother. Who he is, and the number three thing of that is, these are all moves made by a team that wants to win.
Right.
This stuff that's happened over the last week and a half, we're being aggressive and we're trying to say we're adding pieces to try and win games.
You're trading picks for offensive linemen. Like,
your draft has 4 picks in it right now.
Right.
And one of them is going to be the quarterback. So they've made their choice, and the choice they made makes sense. The whole reason that this is supposed to be great, the whole reason that you're supposed to be comfortable with this, is that no other quarterback, no other number one pick has had this soft of a nest to fall into. And if Caleb Williams doesn't deliver that in the first year, woo-wee, the pressure is going to mount. So I hope that he's made of what he projects that he's made of, because if not, it's going to be hot for him here. And yeah. It's very different from USC football here.
No, very, very different. You know what just happened? It's when you like your sister's ex-boyfriend, and then the new one comes along, and you're like, I guess I gotta like this guy, but you know, remember Roger? He was cool, wasn't he? Hey, what's
Roger
happening,
was
brother?
A good
how you
man.
Feeling? Yeah. How you feeling, brother? Everything good? Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just doing this for my sis. Like, there's a certain section of Bears fandom is like, you know, I mean, you know, Justin was my man, but you know, you could be cool. I just gotta see how cool. Yeah, you know, just take care of him. Just win some games. That's all we ask. Just win some games. L, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you, brother. I will see you actually this week and continue to listen to you and Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi. Y'all are out here killing it from 10 to 2 on 670 The Score. Make sure you check out the House of L Network. The podcasts are always fire. He put out an emergency pod as well concerning the Justin Fields situation, and he was kind enough to jump on this one to hang out with me for a few minutes. So, Lawrence, as always, man, I appreciate you, man, and keep up the phenomenal work. I see you out here, and we all appreciate your voice in this city, bro.
Jay, you know I wasn't doing nothing, especially tonight. This is not the night to be out in the streets. Mm-hmm. I am at home and comfortable, and yeah, that's exactly where I stayed. I did not stray Hyde Park at all, and I think I made a winning choice in that regard.
Yeah. Every year around this time, the description that you would have to give to the police would be too vague. You know, yep. it was a young white boy in green. And yep. Shout out to y'all brothers running around out here appropriating as well. Y'all don't like it when it happens on Cinco de Mayo or Juneteenth, but y'all can't wait to throw some green shit on and run around and try to get drunk.
Can't wait to throw them Kiss Me I'm Irish shirts on, Jay.
Oh yeah.
Be careful.
Y'all better get that out your system now. It's an election year, goddammit.
Right.
Oh man. But by the way, happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody out there. Thank you to Lawrence Holmes. Like I said, man, I appreciate you, brother.
It's Chicago in the house. Let me hear you say yeah. Yo, you listening to the Full Go podcast with my man Jason Golf. It's your boy Dave Jeff. Holla at y'all. Much love.
That is all the time we have for episode 366 of the Full Go Podcast. An emergency episode. Justin Fields is no longer a Chicago Bear. He is a Pittsburgh Steeler, paving the way for Caleb Williams to be the number one overall pick. We'll be covering it here for you. I want to say thank you to our production staff, shadowy figure that is known as Steve Cerruti, the exceptional one, Kyle Williams, the dad, the myth, the legend, Tony Gill, and of course, the chief vibes officer himself, Chris Sutton. Appreciate y'all for rating and reviewing this thing. Thank you for sharing it with your family and friends. We don't do the emergency ones often enough because there haven't been a lot of emergencies, but I feel like things are getting ready to ramp up over the next course of a few weeks. We got spring training wrapping up. We got opening day happening. So news will be flowing for you. We do this thing regularly on Sundays, on Tuesdays, and on Thursdays. It's known as the Full Go Podcast. And as always, we leave you with this. Take care of each other.